Stackridge and the Last Plimsoll, recorded live back in April 2007 and appearing on the album The Forbidden City, which saw the return to the live scenario for the band's flautist Mutta Slater. You're listening to a celebration of Angel Air Records, 15 years, and we're talking to label boss Peter Purnell and Stackridge with the reissues on the label and also some solo albums and new material really typify the development of artists on Angel Air Records, and frequently the albums come with bonus tracks.
I mean, that's what we always try to do, is to take the original albums, bonus tracks to be added, plus anything else, etc. And out of that has grown other albums. I mean, Mo Foster, which is Affinity. I mean, Affinity put out one original album on Vertigo, which they did a 30-year deal with Vertigo, so the rights reverted to the band. We then licensed in the Affinity album, had tremendous success with it all over the world. And then, of course, Mo has looked into his archive, found other tapes, and we've been able to put out other previously unreleased Affinity albums.
I mean, that applies to other releases, doesn't it, where artists have trawled the vaults, as it were, and unleashed some previously unheard material, and that's very much a key feature of Angel Air throughout the 15 years.
That's right. And also the fact that I think these artists, especially now, realise that if they don't do something with these outtakes, masters and things now, then perhaps the opportunity will be lost. Of course, I'm sure you're aware that the law of public domain, which means that a recording, once 50 years have passed, that recording becomes public property and no royalties have to be paid. In theory, next year I can take my Parlophone copy, red Parlophone copy of the Beatles' Love Me Do single, I can cedar it, which is remove the clicks, and release it. I don't have to pay the Beatles a penny in royalties. There is some legislation going through the EC at the moment to change that rule, because it's terribly unfair to artists. In America, the life of copyright lasts for 70 years after an artist dies. In the EC, it's currently 50 years for a performance. So, you know, we're seeing a tremendous change in the market. I personally don't believe by the time the Beatles and the Stones catalogue become what's currently public domain that the law will be as it is. I think it will be changed.
Yes. Yeah. Now, what about some highlights for you personally over the past 15 years? Are there any particular albums or projects you've been involved with, Peter, that you're particularly proud of?
Really, I'm proud. I mean, we've released over 400 titles, if you take the CDs and DVDs in, and I'm proud of all of them. But, I mean, I do get a buzz. I mean, like, as I was growing up, I used to buy Tommy James and the Shondells singles. And, you know, to sit and talk to Tommy, you know, in his New York home and talk about his back catalogue, and we've just released a live album of all his sort of greatest hits, etc., for everything from I Think We're Alone Now to Money Money to Crimson and Clover, that still gives me a buzz. The other thing that gives me a buzz, and it's not relevant to any single artist, is when these guys hand over their scrapbooks to me. I'll meet them either in a hotel, at home, some motorway or something, and they hand over years of cuttings and all sorts of things. We take them away, we scan in what we need, etc., for a release, and then we hand them back. But I do get a particular buzz out of that.
You're a genuine music enthusiast. I can understand that feeling of discovery, really, when you talk to these artists. And I'm sure they, you know, that they pick up on that as well, don't they? So it's an enthusiast, but with a smart business head screwed on.
But not sycophantic.
No.
I treat them all like I like to be treated myself. And, you know, as a normal individual, which I think they like, because they know where they stand. I mean, so many times you'll see people, you know, bring an album, oh, I remember you when you did this in 73 or 74, and they look at you blankly and think, I can't remember last year, let alone 73 or 74. But no, it's great fun, and, you know, I never cease to be amazed with Jerry and the Pacemakers album from 1983, where he did a 20th anniversary and re-recorded all his hits. Now, in 83, that might have been considered, well, he's re-recording all his hits, but sort of 30 years on, it's something, it's a little bit of history, and it's something that fits in well to what the label does.
Yes. So there's always something, because that's another thing, isn't it? You tend to think after 15 years you're starting to exhaust possibilities, but that's not the case, is it?
No, not at all. Because of the fact that our business model is based majority of the cases that we license in the product from artists, management companies, etc., etc. We're not like a lot of these reissue labels who go to the majors and take the albums that the majors have released in the past. So ours are, I suppose the one word is eclectic. It's a very mixed bag. I mean, you look, we've got all sorts of things which are coming through the system. We've just done a deal with the group Red Jasper, which were a progressive rock group from the 80s, 90s, to re-release their back catalogue, which is four albums. And progressive rock is now very much back in vogue again, just doing a Madeleine Bell and David Martin album, which had been previously unreleased. And those two have a great following. So, we keep finding things. But really, they find us.
Okay, here's another artist who crops up frequently on Angel Air in the form of British Lions or maybe Mott, or in his own right with the solo album released in 2000, First Poison. And this is Peter's own track selection from that album, Ray Majors and Walk the Line.